Do you have your Bible there with you this morning?
I hope you do. If you didn't bring one, you look off somebody next to you. Or if somebody's in front of you, you can kind of look over their shoulder or something. But either way, get you a Bible there. Open up with me this morning, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7. Going to be in the New Testament, a little ways toward the back of your Bible. And we will be in Hebrews chapter 7 this morning. Give everybody a moment to turn there. And as you're turning there, I want to give you just a little information regarding the context of what we are about to read. You see, here in Hebrews chapter 7, the Lord is giving us a comparison between the Old Testament Levitical priesthood and the New Testament priesthood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, allow me to explain for just a moment what all that means. See, if you were to go back to the Old Testament, back to the book of Exodus and Leviticus, you would find that as the Lord called the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that He instituted an earthly priesthood from the tribe of Levi. That's where we get the term, the Levitical priesthood, the tribe of Levi. And everyone that was in that tribe, every single man that was born, had a job to do when it came to the worship and sacrifice that was given to God. But in particular, the descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses, they were called to be the priests and the high priest over the worship of the Lord back in the Old Testament. And if you study the Old Testament Levitical priesthood, you will find that while there were some bad priests, there were also some very good priests. There were certainly those who were unfaithful to their calling. There were those who were sinning while they should have been serving God. And yet for everyone that did that, there were others who faithfully gave the sacrifices of the Lord and faithfully served the Lord as high priest. But as we come here to Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible tells us that Jesus is our high priest if we're saved. In other words, we don't need a man to be our priest. We don't need a preacher or anyone else in order to get a hold of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, if you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have every opportunity and every ability to get a hold of God by yourself and on your own. In other words, we believe in the priesthood of every single believer. But you say, well, then who's our high priest? Well, our high priest is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. But a problem arises if Jesus is our high priest. You want to know what that problem is? He's not of the tribe of Levi. If you know anything about Jesus, Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls Him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so you say to yourself then, how could Jesus be God's priest? How could Jesus be our priest if He was not from the right tribe? Well, that's what Hebrews chapter 7 tells us. You see, Hebrews 7 tells us that while God may have instituted that Old Testament priesthood with the tribe of Levi, that He had a greater plan. And He made an oath all the way back in the 110th Psalm that He was going to have an everlasting priesthood through the order of Melchizedek. And by the way, that oath that God made back in Psalm 110 was speaking of none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Now I know that's a lot to digest this morning, but that is the context of what we're about to read beginning in verse 23. See, in speaking of those Old Testament Levitical priests, this is what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, that's speaking of Jesus, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray now this morning, Lord, that You'll give us understanding in the Word of truth. Lord, there's perhaps some sitting here this morning that this passage doesn't make a lot of sense to them, and maybe they've not really understood a lot of what's been said thus far. And Lord, we know that we can't learn the Word of God. We can't know You by our earthly reasoning. We need You to shed light upon Your Word. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that You'll guide my thoughts and guide my words, that I might only preach those things which would be pleasing unto You. And Lord, I pray that You would open the ears of the hearers. Lord, open their understanding, that they might be able to receive the message that You've laid on my heart. Lord, guide us now. I pray in everything that's said and done that Jesus would receive the glory and the honor from it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake. Amen and amen. As Bible-believing Baptist, by the way, that is what I call myself, that is what I consider myself, and just in saying that, let me make a point to say I am a Baptist, amen. But before I'm a Baptist, I'm a Bible believer. You say, well, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Well, that means that I'm a Baptist because Baptists profess to believe the King James Bible. But if every Baptist on this earth decided to turn against that book and turn against God, I'd still be a Bible-believing Christian, amen. But I say all that then to say this morning, that as Bible-believing Baptist people, we don't believe in priests. As a matter of fact, before Martin Luther ever nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg church door, we were already protesting the priesthood over there in Rome. Hey friend, before any of the Protestants or any of the others went through the Reformation, there were Baptist people, Bible-believing people that stood up and said, I don't need a priest to get a hold of God. I can go straight through the blood of the Lamb through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in preaching here regarding the priesthood, I can understand this morning that it could be a fairly touchy subject in preaching about priests here in a Bible-believing Baptist church. But can I go ahead and say this morning, just why we don't believe in going and confessing our sin to a priest, and why we don't believe that we need a priest in order to get a hold of God, can I make one thing very clear? That the Bible does teach a New Testament priesthood. It's not a man with his collar turned around backwards. It's not somebody coming and, you know, giving us the sign of the cross or anything like that. No, the New Testament priesthood is one of believers. As I told you before just a minute or two ago, the truth of the New Testament is that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when He saves our soul, He consecrates us as both saints and priests of the Most High God. That means that every one of us, it doesn't matter if you're the pastor standing here in the pulpit or the lowest and smallest child sitting down there in the pew, if you've been saved by the grace of God, we have the same opportunity, we have the same privilege to approach the throne of grace and get a hold of our God. Praise God for it this morning. But in saying that, if we're all priests, then who is the high priest? Well, can I say one thing? It's not me. It's not the Pope over there in Rome. It's not the Imam over there in Mecca or Medina. It's not any of the religious leaders walking and talking on this earth. No, our high priest is a heavenly priest, and he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And in writing here about the priesthood of our Lord Jesus, I want you to see something that the author of Hebrews tells us down there in verse number 26, if you'll look there with me. In verse 26, he uses this phrase, "For such an high priest became us." Now, can I be honest with you? Every time I've ever read that verse in the past, I always thought to myself it was talking about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. In other words, I thought when it said that our high priest became us, I was kind of stupid. I was kind of dumb. Y'all have to bear with me. My mind doesn't always work too fast. But what I always thought that was saying is that Jesus became us. He came to this earth to become a man. By the way, He did. That's still true. Jesus left the glories of heaven. He was born into a manger as a little babe over there in Bethlehem. And He grew up to be the Savior of the world and one day the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's our Jesus. He did become just like you and me. Amen? And yet that's not what that verse is saying. As I got to studying that thing and I got to praying over that thing, it occurred to me what the Lord was saying there when He said, our high priest became us. See, you ever had somebody say, that's a very becoming dress you have on? Or maybe somebody came to you, some of you growing out these beards, some of you men growing out your beards for No Shave November and stuff. Anybody ever come to you and say, well, that beard really becomes you. It really looks good on your face. You know what they're saying when they say that? They're saying that it suits you. They're saying that it's something that looks good on you. In other words, they're saying that it made you better, that it was needed in order to get you to look how you needed to look or to be how you needed to be. And I believe it's in that sense that the Lord tells us that Jesus is an high priest who became us. And so this morning I want to preach to you on that subject, our becoming priest. Our becoming priest. You see, if Jesus Christ becomes us, if He's what's needed to complete us and to make us what God would have us to be, then I see here in our text several ways that He becomes us as our high priest. I want to say first of all that Jesus becomes us because of His saving priesthood. You see, I got to looking there through the Bible as I studied on this subject this week. And I got to looking throughout a lot of those Old Testament priests. Now that might seem kind of boring to some of you. And I'll be honest, it wasn't necessarily the most entertaining thing I've ever studied in my Bible. But as I got to studying a lot of those Old Testament priests, I found that, like I said before, there were some that were fairly good people. They were fairly good men. They served God and they were faithful in the priesthood that God had given them. On the other hand, you had some like Hophni and Phinehas, and you had some like the sons of Eli, who were very wicked men. They were really more ungodly than even most of the citizens in the nation of Israel. And so you had a priesthood that was constantly changing, constantly going through turmoil all throughout that Old Testament. And yet of all those priests that I got to studying, I never found one that saved anybody. Now they offered up sacrifices, amen, and the Lord used that to atone for the sins of the people. Hey, it was the job of the priest to slay the lamb and to offer up his blood and his body there on the altar in order to atone for the sins of God's people. And yet I never found a priest that offered himself to save anybody. As a matter of fact, about the closest thing I found was back there in the Old Testament, Phinehas, the son of Aaron. One time he saw a Moabite woman committing fornication with a child of Israel. And the Lord was about to pour out His wrath on the whole nation because of that sin. And yet Phinehas took his spear and he slew both of them. And the Bible said that God's wrath was appeased because of the work of that priest. By the way, preaching against sin and standing against sin, hey, that'll keep God's wrath off your nation. Amen. And yet even in that instance, he didn't save the people. He didn't save the nation. He didn't offer up himself that anybody could be saved. But can I say to you this morning that I believe Jesus Christ becomes us. I believe He's becoming to us because He seeks to save every last man, woman, and child on this earth. And you might say, well, preacher, who do we need saving from? Look there with me in verse 25, if you would. The Bible said, wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Can I just say that's the gospel in a nutshell? That Jesus Christ is able to save any man, any woman, any child on this earth that'll come to God by Him. But you say, well, preacher, I don't need saving. Maybe there's somebody sitting in here and you're lost this morning. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you say, well, preacher, I think I'm a pretty good guy. I think I'm a pretty good gal. If anybody's doing all right, if anybody will go to heaven, surely it would be me. I've been good for all these years. Yet can I say you've missed the great truth here? You've missed the fact that Jesus Christ is the only thing. He's the only one that can save a man's soul. You say, what do I need to be saved from? Well, you need to be saved from your sin. Look down there at verse 27 with me, if you would, here in our text. In verse 27, the Bible said, speaking of those Old Testament priests, it said, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. I want to say to you this morning, I'm glad He's my high priest. I'm glad He's my Savior. I'm glad that He's my Lord. Because if He hadn't died in my place, if He hadn't offered His own body, if He hadn't offered Himself as an offering for my sin, I would never have been saved. I'm telling you this morning, friend, He died to save men from their sins. And can I just say one thing? He only had to die once. Those Old Testament priests, they had to kill, they had to shed more blood than you could possibly imagine. I mean, every day, every week, every month, every year, they had to take those lambs and those oxen and slit the throat and pour the blood out into the basin. Hey, all the time they were having to light the fire of that altar in order to lift that offering up to God. And yet, can I say that when Jesus offered Himself one time, only once, it took to save the soul of every man, woman, and child that has ever walked the face of this earth. I'm telling you this morning, friend, you can be saved. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm telling you, friend, He's becoming to us because He's a saving priest. You still got your Bible there with you? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. I just want to show you this. I want you to see it with your own two eyes. Then we'll get back to our text. Now I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11. The Bible said there, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." I don't care what you sacrifice. I don't care what your pastor or your priest or your imam sacrifices. I don't care, listen, I don't care what your religion is. If it is anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ, it cannot take away sin. Can I say that one more time this morning? If it's anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot take away sin. That's what He said. But look at verse 12 there in Hebrews chapter 10. "But this man..." That's Jesus, friend. He said, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." I want you to get a hold of that difference. I don't know if you're going to get it this morning. I hope you get it. But I want you to get a hold of that difference so bad. Lord, help them to get a hold of it. That we don't have to keep coming. We don't have to keep getting saved and resaved and resaved. The fact that Jesus Christ only had to die once means that we only have to be saved once. The fact that Jesus Christ paid for all sin means there's no other payment needed for sin. I say thank God this morning. He becomes us because He's a saving priest. He's a saving priest. I want to ask you a question before I move on. Did you come to God by Him? I know some of you in here, you're doubting your salvation. You're tore up all the time. You come to church and you put on a good show, but you get home and you're all worried and tore up. Did I really say the right thing? Did I really do the right thing? Did God really save me? Well, it's believing all it really takes. Don't I need to try to live it just a little bit? Well, you know, maybe it'll take this. Maybe I got to get baptized. Maybe I got to join the church. Maybe I need to do this or that. And you're always worried about whether the Lord really saved you. Can I go ahead and put that thing to rest real quick? I want you to look right there, Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. He said, "Wherefore, He is able." It's not because you're able. It's not because I'm able that we can be saved. It's because He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. And I ask you this morning, did you come to God by Him? I still remember as a 14-year-old boy, about 13, 14-year-old boy, laying there in my bed one night when I came to God by Him. I'd been trying to get to God on my own. I'd been trying to get to God through religion. I'd been trying to get to God by being a good boy, and yet none of it could get me to God. But when I finally bowed my head and by faith received Jesus Christ, when I finally said, "God, save me. I know that Jesus died for me, and I receive Him as my Savior." When I took Him and came to God by Him, He saved me to the uttermost. And He'll save you too. He'll save you too if you'll come to God by Him. I want to say to you this morning, He becomes us. He's becoming to us because He's a saving priest. But I want to tell you another thing about our becoming priest. He's not only becoming to us because He's a saving priest, but He's becoming to us because He's an enduring priest. Now you still got Hebrews chapter 7 right there. Look at verse 23 with me if you would. In verse 23, it said, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of what? D-E-A-T-H, death. You want to know what the problem with that Old Testament Levitical priesthood was? I can put it into one word for you. Death. You know what happened to Aaron? He died. You know what happened to his son? He died. You know what happened to his grandson? He died. And so on and so forth. And they might have had a priest for 5 years. They might have gotten to be priest for 10 years or 20 years or even up to 40 years or so. They might have been able to stay in the priesthood for even decades. And yet there always came a time where the high priest would die. And you know what happened when he would die? He couldn't guarantee any promises that were made. He couldn't guarantee that the priesthood would continue the same as it had continued, because it was constantly changing. You had no promise that the next priest would be as good as the old priest. You know what that tells me? That was an imperfect priesthood. And yet the priesthood that we have through Jesus Christ, the high priest that we have by faith in His name, He is a far better priest. He's a becoming priest because He endures forevermore. You see, Jesus didn't have to die to conquer death. Oftentimes we sing about that and we talk about that. We say that Jesus Christ went into the tomb that He might be able to win the victory over death, hell, and the grave. But the truth is, He's always had the victory over death. Back there in that Old Testament, y'all still with me this morning? I know we're getting into some stuff maybe a little deeper than what we always do on a Sunday morning, but I want you to get a hold of it. Listen in real good. Get a hold of everything you can this morning. If you went back there to that Old Testament, there were people that raised from the dead. There was one time, there was a fellow there that fell into a pit. It was a dead body getting ready to bury him. And Elisha's bones were down there in the pit. And they accidentally dropped that dead body in there. And when they hit the bones of Elisha, the guy jumped up out of the pit and he was alive. You say, what's that? That's a resurrection from the dead. In the Old Testament, before Jesus ever even came down to this earth. When Jesus did come to this earth, He walked right up to the tomb of old Lazarus. And He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? Y'all still with me here? He got up. The grave clothes came off. He came forth. Amen. And Jesus, I've heard it said that Jesus would ruin any funeral He went to. I mean, about the time Jesus would come down to the funeral home, the body was going to get up out of the casket, because it wasn't going to stay dead very long. That is before Jesus ever went to the cross of Calvary. That's before He ever gave up the ghost. That's before He ever cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is before He laid down His life as an offering for your sin and mine. And so you say, well, preacher, then why did Jesus have to die? Well, to put it very simply, He did it for you and He did it for me. He did it to pay our sin debt. He did it to pay the price that we might be saved, that we might escape death and have everlasting life in the glories of heaven. But can I give you one more good reason why Jesus Christ went to that cross? Why He died, why He was buried, and why He rose again on the third day? Y'all about ready for it? He did it to show off. I know some of y'all think I'm lying right here, and some of y'all kind of doubting me, but I'm going to prove it to you here in just a moment. Jesus did it just to simply show the devil and to show those principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Jesus did it to show every last man, woman, and child who would ever be born that He had the final power over death, hell, and the grave. Say, preacher, do you really believe that? Well, it don't matter if I believe it or not. The Bible said it. That Bible said, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know what that said? That said when Jesus came up from the tomb, when Jesus came up from the dead, He was doing it to show all the principalities and powers. He was doing it to show all the powers of darkness that He had complete and total authority and complete and total power over death, hell, and the grave. The Bible said He came up and He made a show of them. You say, what did He do? He said, fellas, you couldn't keep me dead. You couldn't keep me down. You couldn't keep me in that tomb. And He triumphed over them in it. Now some of y'all think I've gotten off touch. Some of y'all think I'm taking a rabbit trail, but I'm getting somewhere with this morning. What I'm trying to show you is that because He never dies,
Because He died back then, but He rose again, never to die another day. I can say this morning, I've got a becoming high priest. He becomes us this morning because He is an enduring priest. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't take any priest on this earth that couldn't take care of his own death problem. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I do want you to get a hold of this, and I want you to think on it. I mean, be open-minded. Really think on this thing if you would. Why would you want to trust a man who can't keep himself alive? Why would you trust a man to tell you how to have everlasting life, to tell you how to get to heaven, when he can't stay alive forever himself? Well, I want to make one thing real clear. You can go down here to All Saints Catholic Church, but that priest is going to die. Your priest is going to die. You can go over there to Rome and talk to old Papa Paul or Papa whoever. I don't know whatever his name is. You can talk to the old Pope over there, but he can't stay alive. He's going to die. I wouldn't take his word for it. He's going to die. Amen. Hey, you can go over there to Mecca and Medina and you get a hold of old Imam over there, supposedly descended from Muhammad or whatever, and he can even talk to him till you're blue in the face, and you can get all the good information he wants to give you about the Quran and the Hadith and all that stuff, and yet, can I be honest with you, he's going to die. I can go over there, I can find the bones of Buddha, I can find the bones of Muhammad, I can find the bones of the popes, I can find the bones of all the false teachers and false gods of this world, but you can't find one bone of Jesus Christ, because He's not dead. He lives this morning. By the way, I'm not even telling you to take my word for it. You say, preacher, you're going to die too. You're exactly right. If Jesus Christ don't come real soon, I'm probably going to die too. Amen. And yet, can I say, you don't need to take my word for it then. You say, well, whose word should I take? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if Jesus said it, and he lives forevermore, you can take his word to the bank. I'm saying to you this morning, he becomes us because he never dies. He's never going away. His priesthood will last forever and ever and ever. But I want to give you one last thing, and I'm done this morning. I know some of you, I've lost you already, but I'm trying to help you. I hope you stick around for it. He's a becoming high priest because he's a saving priest. He's becoming to us because he's an enduring priest. But I want to say, last of all, he's becoming to us because he's an unchanging priest. See, as I thought on this subject this week, it occurred to me that if God lives forever, and he does, and Jesus is God, by the way, he said, I and the Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. And if he's going to live forever, and he has lived forever, he's eternal, then the worst thing in the world would be the thought of him changing. You say, why? Well, you ever been around somebody who's unstable? Some of y'all are. I've talked to you. Some of you unstable. Have you ever been around somebody unstable? You ever tried to rely on somebody who's unstable? Somebody who changes from one day to the next? I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. All of us change from time to time, don't we? I'm different now than I was 5 years ago. I'm different right now than I was 10 years ago. My opinions have changed on some things. My convictions have changed in some ways. I hope for the better. I mean, I've changed. You've changed too. But the Lord never changes. See, I'll tell you one of the great things about him, why he's so becoming to us, why he's a becoming high priest, because he's unchanging. Now, I'm not trying to get political in any way, but this does make for a good illustration. Right now, we're going through change in our nation. 8 years ago, and I guess 4 years ago, and 8 years ago, and 12 years ago, and 16 years ago, we went through change, right? Change every time. And that is one of the outcomes, one of the results of our government, the fact that we change every few years. By the way, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. We need change from time to time. But I say all that to say this. We've seen change And it created a lot of turmoil, didn't it? Back there when President Obama came in, he came in preaching hope and change, and it has changed. I believe, unfortunately, in most ways for the worse. Now all of a sudden, and by the way, I'm not making a political speech. I don't care if he's a Democrat or Republican. I'm saying I think we're a little worse. Amen. Now, old Donald Trump's coming in there here in a few months. And you know what's going to happen? Some changes are going to take place. Some for the better, some for the worse. Amen. Some of y'all don't want to agree with me on it, but you know it's true deep down in your heart. Some of it's going to be for the better. Some of it's going to be for the worse. But we're going to have change. And you know what's happened? We got people rioting out in the streets. We got people all tore up just like they were 4 years ago, just like they were 8 years ago, just like they were 12 years ago and 16 years ago. And you know why? We don't like the uncertainty of that change. We don't like the idea that there's going to be turmoil and upheaval because things are going to have to change. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give you some information. I hope I don't break your heart this morning, but here it is. This world is full of change. You want to know why there's so much trouble? Because things change. You want to know why you're always so uncertain? You're always so unsure? You want to know why the stock market's always going up and down? Can I tell you why? This world is full of change. And yet one of the great reasons why Jesus is so good, one of the great reasons why He becomes us, is because even though He lives forever, though He was back there before the world was ever formed, though He exists today just as He did back then, though He will exist long after the stars have been rolled away as a scroll and the elements have melted as a fervent heat, He will live forevermore, but He will never change. He's an unchanging priest. I want to say to you this morning, you go back there to that Old Testament, you say, oh, I want to go back like that. I want to live like that. I want to be put back under the Old Testament law. I think I'd do pretty good. No, you wouldn't. Because from 1 year to the next, from one decade to the next, you know what happened? Change. 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 The priest would die. He'd get sick. It'd change, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, but it'd change. And yet, you know what we have as a child of God? You know what we have as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have a promise. And that promise is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And the same way He is today, I can count on it 10 million years in the future. 10 billion years off into eternity. Hey, you go up there when it's all been wiped away, when nothing else of this world stands, and you show me Jesus, He'll be the same as He was before the world ever even began. I tell you, He's becoming to us because He's unchanging. See, I take rest in the fact that if Jesus was holy back then, and He was, then He's holy today. And He'll be holy tomorrow. The same Jesus who is powerful enough to speak the very universe into existence is still just as powerful today in my life and yours, and He'll be just as powerful tomorrow. The same Jesus who was merciful to sinners back there in that Old Testament is merciful to sinners right here and now. He'll be merciful to you this morning, and He's merciful tomorrow. The same Jesus that was so good way back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 2,000 years ago. The Bible said He went about doing good. Jesus never did anything wrong. He was just good, good, good. And you can see today, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can come try Him out today. You'll find out He's just as good now as He was back then, and He'll be good forevermore. I want to give you one last example, and we'll get ready to have a time of invitation. The same Jesus that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The same Jesus that said, but for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That same Jesus that was so loving back then is still just as loving today. And by faith in His name, if you're one of His own, that same love will endure for the ages and ages and ages to come. I'm trying to get it across to you. Lord, I don't know, Lord. I don't know if they've got it. I don't know if you've got it this morning. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is we've got a great Savior. We've got a great Lord. We have a great High Priest who becomes us. He becomes us. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're lost. I don't know. I don't know your heart, but the Lord does. And I believe you do to a certain extent. I'm not one of these preachers that thinks maybe you don't know if you're lost or saved. I'm kind of the belief if you'd be honest with yourself and quit lying to yourself, you'd know whether you were lost or saved. Amen. And you might not agree with me on it, but I believe it. I believe you at least know enough about yourself to know if you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you've never received Him. You've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. Can I say this would be a good morning to come to Him? He becomes you. He becomes you. It would become you. That's what you need to complete you. That's what you need to save your soul. That's what you need to receive everlasting life. Jesus is the only thing you need to be forgiven of all sin, all unrighteousness, to be forgiven and made a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you come this morning? Would you come receive Him? You don't have to come on your own. You can come grab me by the hand and I'll sit there and pray with you and pray for you. I'll take the Word of God and explain it to you if you need it explained, but why don't you come? Why don't you come this morning and believe on Him? Why don't you come and get that thing settled? It would become you this morning to come to Jesus. Maybe you're sitting in here and you're saved. You're my brother or my sister in Christ. Maybe it's been a while since you've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know He dwells within us. I know we're part of Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, the Bible says. The truth is, we wander far from Him, don't we? We get out of fellowship with Him. And the Bible says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I might walk up to one of you ladies, and I would try to be very discreet in how I do this. I don't go around complimenting anybody hardly but my wife, at least females. Men, I ain't going to compliment you because you ain't deserving of it. Amen. But if I walked up to Sister Mabel and I said, Sister, that's a beautiful outfit you have there today. It's very becoming on you. What I'd be saying is, that really looks good for you. That completes you. That's a beautiful thing you've worn there. If I came over to you and I said, Brother David, I like those glasses you got on. They're very becoming. What I'm saying is they match up to the shape of your face. They look just right. I don't think you could probably find any glasses that look any better than those you've got right there. It's becoming. Well, can I say something to you, Christian? Can I say something to you, brother, sister? The only thing becoming on you and me as a child of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we look like this world, the more we act like this world, the more we get enmeshed and intertwined in the ways of this world, the less becoming we are. But He becomes us. He becomes us. Would you put on Jesus Christ today? Would you renew your walk with Him? And say, Lord, I've wandered far from the Father's house, but I'm coming back home today. Would you come back and get back that fellowship and put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word this morning. Well, I don't know if they got a hold of it. Lord, I hope. Lord, my prayers that they would. I believe this is an important message. Lord, I believe it's a biblical message. Lord, I need You to get it across to them. Lord, if there's anyone here who's lost and on their way to a devil's hell, I pray this would be the day they would come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, if there's any that's wandered far from You, and yet they're one of Your own, Lord, I pray this be the day they'd come back home. I pray this be the day they'd put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, they would manifest You to a lost and dying world. Lord, help us now in this time of invitation. I pray You'd work in each and every heart. And it's in Jesus' name I ask it and for His sake. Amen and amen. As we sing this